for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, November the 25th, 1994. Thanksgiving weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the minister of the evening.
It's a privilege to have all of you here, all the ministries. There are several ministries that's amongst us in the congregation. We bless you and thank the Lord for your attendance. But it's a privilege to have Brother Cook and Tommy come and minister to us the word of the Lord. We appreciate the ministry that God has for and flows through Brother Tommy as he ministers the word of the Lord. Get your Bibles out, get your fingers ready, because you're going to have to go.
Father, we thank you again tonight for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time that we've come together. Lord, we believe we're here by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the worship tonight. Thank you for the word. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. How many enjoyed today? Amen. Enjoyed Sister Coffey's ministry this morning, Doc, this afternoon. And let's turn tonight to the Song of Solomon. Praise God. The Song of Solomon. How many are glad Jesus is about ready to come one of these days? How many believe He's coming?
Amen.
Amen. I believe He's coming. Praise the Lord. But how many know many are sitting in their rapture chairs tonight, rapture rockers, waiting for the blast-off button? Huh? And, you know, when Jesus, when many find out that they're not going to go up, some will blow up, some will throw up, but you got to grow up if you're going to go up. In the Lord, amen? He is coming again, though, isn't He? Jesus is coming in the saints. I've said this many times, but I like to say it again. Hallelujah. He's coming in the saints. He's coming with the saints. He's coming in the clouds. He's coming with clouds. He's coming in the fire. He's coming with fire. The Lord will come again. He's coming bodily. He's coming personally. He's coming visibly, literally, and gloriously. Jesus will come again. Hallelujah. He will come again. Now, in the book of Song of Solomon, go to chapter 1. I'm going to start there, and where we finish, nobody knows. Except Irma. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the chapter 1 of the Song of Solomon. Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. And verse 1 says, the Song of Songs. This was the song of all the songs, which is Solomon's. And I'm glad that God shared this Song of Solomon, because how many know the Holy Ghost is sharing with us tonight? How many has ever read this book? You know that you had to be 30 years of age to really read and begin to understand this book, and you know, many, many years ago. But, and 30 is a number of sonship, number of maturity. But I believe this is an important book here, and many take it in the natural. You can't take this book in the natural, can you? Now, if you do, you got problems. Now, look at verse 2. I'm just going to lead up to a few things tonight, because I don't know which way I'm going to go for sure. I think I do, but I've learned many times that I think I was going a certain way, and I went another way by the direction of the Holy Spirit. But look in verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than something. Wine. Now, I want you to see right in the beginning of this book, this one gets a revelation of the Holy of Holies. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they were accused of drinking something. What was it?
Wine.
Well, how many know they had the new wine, Holy Ghost wine, but they were accused of being drunk on wine. And here he said in this verse, right here, verse 2, that thy love is better than wine. Now, how many thank God for Holy Ghost wine tonight? How many thank God for the Holy Ghost experience tonight? Amen. Pentecost, we'd say. But how many know that tabernacles is greater than Pentecost? Come on now. How many know the hundredfold is greater than the 60? The fullness is greater than the part realm. Isn't that right? And God is going to bring a people into the Holy of Holies. And yet this song says, thy love is better than wine. Now, none of us will be a son without the love of God. I mean, no, that's the goal, that's the summit, that's the peak God's leading us to, is the love of God. And we can talk it, but how many know it's time to walk it? And you can't walk it until he works it in you. Isn't that right? God works in you that we might work out our own salvation. Come on with something. Fear and trembling. Isn't that right? Yes. Amen. So the love of God is better than wine, he says. Verse 2 again. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now notice he said, let him do this. He's got to initiate this kiss. And when you're kissing someone, we know that there's an intimacy. You're face to face with the person. We know it's someone you love, eye to eye, mouth to mouth. There's a desire and so forth. But how many believe the Lord has kissed some people today in this meeting?
Amen.
Come on now. When you got saved, God kissed you. I can remember when I got saved. I can remember weeping and crying before the Lord, and God forgave my sin. The load was lifted. Hallelujah. And I believe when he heals you, you get kissed. When he delivers you, you get kissed. When there's a prophetic word that comes to pass, he kisses you. Amen? When God begins to prosper us or mature us, whatever, God begins to kiss us. Praise the Lord. Now, look in verse 4. The three verses in the book of Song of Solomon is key verses. Chapter 1, verse 4, and it's not hard to remember. 1, 4, 2, 4, and 3, 4. If you can just remember that. Those are key verses. Now, here in chapter 1, verse 4, look at it. Draw me, and we will run after thee. Hallelujah. How many want to run after the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Now, notice, first of all, there's the cry, there's the prayer. Lord, draw me, and we will run. Who's we? It is my spirit, it is my soul, it is my body. Now, if I'm running, how many know somebody else is going to join ranks with me, though?
Uh-huh.
Amen? How many believe that? So he said in this verse, draw me, and we will run after thee. Praise God. That's a commitment. God wants a commitment from us tonight. And the result is he's going to do something. If we pray that prayer, and if there's a commitment, notice what he says. Hallelujah. That the king's going to bring us into his chambers. Amen? And notice the effect. We're going to be glad. We're going to rejoice in thee. And we're going to remember thy love again, he says. More than wine, the upright love thee. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I thank God. Now, when God begins to kiss us, and God begins to do a work in us, and we begin to run after the Lord, and he begins to bring us into his chambers, he's going to show us something. Now, how many know there's a difference in a peck on the cheek and a real kiss? Huh? Amen? You've had a lot of people probably just peck you on the cheek and kiss you. But that's different than your mate kissing you, isn't it? Come on, you get with it. Hallelujah. Now look in 5:16. Look in 5:16. Robert's laughing up here. He knows what I'm talking about. Chapter 5, verse 16. Now there's a difference in a peck and this kiss right here. His mouth is most sweet. Now to come to this place, how many know there's going to be some tribulation and trials? Because look over in chapter 5, verse 6, this one said, my soul failed. How many's ever had your soul fail? Come on now. Your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desires. Well, that's good. How many know we need his? And back in 5:16, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my what? Beloved. Oh, hallelujah. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Praise God. I want you to notice, this is my beloved. Hallelujah. His mouth is most sweet. And that is intimacy. Can you say amen? That is a union. That is fellowship with the Lord. Now, notice the word this. Look in chapter 8 of Song of Solomon. We're just going to dance around here a little bit. Chapter 8 of the Song of Solomon. Now, the first seven chapters of this book is to get this maid, little maid, ready to give birth to the man-child. How many know God's bringing forth a man-child? Do you know that? Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, says that God is going to bring forth a man-child out of the woman, out of the church, And God's going to catch the man-child to the throne of God. Hallelujah. To the government of God. How many believe that? And so, coming to this, through the Song of Solomon, we come up through these seven chapters, into chapter 8, down to verse 4, first of all. Look at verse 4. And we see in verse 4, he says something here. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor wake my love till he please. Now go back to 2:7. Go back to chapter 2, verse 7. And it says the same thing almost in this verse. Now look at 2:7. Something's a little different. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor wake my love till he please. Then we go over to chapter 3, verse 5. Look in 3:5. And the scripture says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor wake my love till it please. Now go back to 8 again. Let's read the verse in chapter 8. I want you to see something's different here. Look in chapter 8 and verse 4 again. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor wake my love till it please. What's missing in that verse compared to the other two? The roes and the hinds, which means this one has come to the place in the spirit where there is no male nor female. Who can hear that tonight? I mean, oh, in the spirit or in Christ, God's not looking if you're a man or woman. Come on. He's looking at your obedience. Now, we don't do away with your female or male or masculine. You know any of that. But in the spirit, God's not looking at that, is it? Hallelujah. So there's something here a little different. And that is that the hinds and the roes are not mentioned here because this one had come up to a place where they began to walk, of course, in the spirit. It's maturity. Now look at verse 5. And then he said, who is this? Who is this? And that's a feminine word from 5:16 where it says, this is my beloved. Who is female, feminine, you see, or soul. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? How many know the church is a woman tonight? And out of the woman is going to come forth the sons of God. How many thank God for your natural mother and your natural birth? And we all do. And we thank God for our mothers. But thank God for the church tonight that's birthing the sons of God, the overcomers in this hour. Are you hearing me? There are not many churches preaching deliverance, and there's not many churches preaching sonship or end time truths that we're talking about tonight as far as the man child. Amen? We throw everybody in the same bag. Well, not everybody's in the same bag. Can you hear me? How many know there's different levels in this walk as a Christian? Come on, some 30, some 60, and some will attain to the 100. Now, we haven't got there yet. Nobody can boast and say they're a 100-fold Christian. But God is going to bring a people to that place as they learn to walk in the Spirit and begin to get delivered and get things out of them. Come on. I mean, that's going to help you a whole bunch to start walking in the Holy Ghost. Now, back here in chapter 8. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? How many thank God for your wilderness experiences? Jesus had it and you'll have it. Amen? No man, I know there are those who laugh about going through things, but I want to tell you, you'll never be a son without being tested. Going through the fire. Isn't that right? How do you fight fire? You fight fire with fire, and God's coming forth with his fire. But how to have God's fire, how many know you're going to be put in the fire? Sure you are. But who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Now notice what she's saying. I raise thee up under the apple tree. Where your mother brought thee forth, there she brought thee forth that bare thee. Now, I'm talking about the church here now, and I'm talking about a son. Now look in chapter 2, we see this apple tree. Look in chapter 2. How many know this book explains itself? Bible explains itself from scripture to scripture. Verse 3. As the apple tree is among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved, come on, among who? The sons. I sat down under his shadow, that's submission, with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse now. Now he brought me to the banqueting house. Now this is the house of wine. This is Pentecost. And his banner over me was
love.
He brings us to the house of wine. He fills us with the Holy Ghost. Glory. How many thank God for that experience? Now, then we go over to just a second. Chapter 3. And look at verse 4. Here we see another experience. He says, it was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Can I tell you the marriage feast is going on right now? Behold, I stand at the door, and if any man open up, I will come into him. Come on. And he will sup with him, and he will sup with me. Isn't that right? And that word sup means supper, evening meal. We are in the marriage feast right now. There's an intimacy, there's a union, there's a fellowship with Jesus now. Can you hear that? But there's a lot of people who are too busy. And how many know we can get too busy that we don't have time for God? Are you hearing me? There's a lot of religiosity. Isn't that right? How many know the Pharisees, now I want you to hear this. If I can find it. I got it here somewhere, I think. The Pharisees were religious people, wasn't they? How many believe that? Amen. Well, I probably don't have it. Anyway, they knew the scriptures. We'd say backward and forwards. They had a lot of zeal. They believed in the resurrection. They believed in the ministry in the coming of the Lord. They believed in the Elijah ministry. And yet, how many know they rejected Jesus? There's a lot of religion in the church, isn't there? Religiosity. I call it VRG, verbal religious garbage. Now, here in the Song of Solomon, now I want to go back to chapter 1 just a minute. We see that this one is being kissed, beginning to be kissed. We see that they're getting a revelation of the Holy of Holies. And the petition, the cry is for the Lord to draw them to run after the Lord, and the results, he's going to bring them into his chambers. And then this one gets a revelation in verse 5. She says something. I am black but comely. She sees the beast nature and the Christ nature. The word comely means beautiful. She sees two natures. How many know we have two natures in us tonight? How many know there's a beast at the feast and a liar for the fire? And that's that old beast nature in us. But she said, I am black but comely, O you daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar. Verse 6. She gets another revelation now. Look not upon me because I am black, because the S-U-N, that's the S-U-N, and you know Malachi talks about the S-U-N arising with healing in his wings. Isn't that right? All right. Look not upon me because I'm black, because the Son hath looked upon me, my mother's children. And I call these word mother's children here, the worldly church members. We got a lot of them. My mother's children were what? Angry with me. Now, when Jesus begins to kiss you and begins to draw you and you begin to see who you really are, the two natures in you, how many know that there is a religious system that wants to crucify you? Come on now. When you see through the system, the religious system, and that they own you no more, then they want to kill you. Now look at this verse again. They were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. And how many know when we get so busy for Jesus, we ignore this vineyard right here? Isn't that right? We get so busy in the system and working for God that we don't let God do a work in us. How many know in the Old Testament you could not wear linen and wool at the same time? Amen? Because wool causes a sweat. It causes a sweat. It's toil. It's work. It's a curse. And how many know we can't do anything for Jesus? I said, we can't do anything for Jesus. Jesus can do a lot through us, but we can't do anything. Amen? How many know we brag too much what we can do? I want to tell you, we can't do anything apart from Jesus. Amen. Now notice something. And then in verse 7, there's another revelation. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. For thou makest thy flock to rest at noon when the sun's bright and hot and the light is bright. Where's the flock resting? For why should I be? Now look at this. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flock to thy companions? I mean, those people don't want a local fellowship. They don't want to be of the body of Christ. But I will tell you, it's dangerous to separate from the body of Christ. And we don't just choose where we're going to be in a fellowship. God has to choose that for us. If tonight everybody was in the right place, how many know a lot of churches empty out overnight? We couldn't get them all in here tonight, could we, Robert? Robert have a lot of help up here, helping him, musicians or whatever. Come on. If everybody was led by the Holy Spirit, there'd be a great revival on. People say we're in that great revival. I don't think it's here. God's always moving, of course. But I tell you, the last move of God, we hadn't come to. You read Revelation 11, and some of those latter chapters of Revelation, we hadn't got there yet. Now, how many know move of God will come up to the greater move of God? Isn't that right? The outpouring will come up to the greater outpouring. But when that latter rain does come, the fullness of it, how many know everybody's going to know it? It won't be a guesswork. It's going to be a total walk in the Spirit, and it's going to be that real love worked in our hearts. And you're going to see a manifestation of God. You're going to see the power in operation. But thank God for what we have right now. Isn't that right? Thank God for the Holy Ghost we have now. But none of us have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're in the part realm right now. Thank God, but we're coming up to the fullness. Amen? How many know the fullness is going to swallow up the part realm, as I said a while ago? Amen. The greater is going to swallow up the lesser. Hallelujah. I want to see it, don't you? I want to be part of it. And I thank God for every part, every experience in the Holy Spirit I've ever had. But I thank God for that which I haven't not yet experienced. Praise the Lord. And so, she's asked the question, where's your flock feeding at, Lord? And why should I be one of your companions there with the flocks? Verse 8, he said, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. Praise the Lord. Well, there's a lot more I could go into. Now, turn with me some scriptures. I want to show you something. Go to 1 Peter 5. How many know that God wants to feed the church? He wants us to be fed by the Word of God. 1 Peter 5. How many know a shepherd's job is to feed the church? Amen. Chapter 5. Notice he said in verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Now, this is Peter, an apostle, and yet Peter is an elder. Now, when he was out into his apostolic ministry, he moved and functioned as an apostle. But when he come in the local group, how many know he didn't say, move over, boys, I'm going to take over the show. No, he come back in as an elder with the other elders, didn't he? Come on, help me now. And he said something. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ. How many know there's sufferings in the ministry? As well as being a Christian. And also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. If there's no suffering, there's no glory. Well, let me tell you, in the ministry, they're suffering. But thank God there's also the glory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We just don't want to succumb to the suffering. Amen. We want to overcome the suffering and be partaker of the glory. Verse 2, feed the flock. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, taking something. The oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for, come on, not for filthy lucre. How many know there's no... Money's not dirty in itself. But how many of us, the way we use it and our motives, it makes it wrong. Isn't that right? The love of money is the what? Not money, but the love of money. Now notice. And he said here for the ministry, talking about the shepherds, he clearly says, don't be in it just for filthy lucre. Now if a man gets up and preaches every message on money, I think something's wrong. Now please hear me. If a man preaches in the pulpit, every time he preaches money, something's wrong. Amen. Now, I'm not against people preaching on money and telling people to give unto God as the Lord directs them. But I don't think we have to do that. How many know God will meet every need as we do what? As we put the kingdom first. He told me recently, don't pray for money. He said, you put the kingdom first and I'll supply your need. Now, I can pray for other people. I can pray for the campground, I can pray for other ministries and other people, which I do. But I'm not praying for myself for money. I'm not going to do it. It's my responsibility to put the kingdom of God first, and God said, your needs will be met. Now listen to what he says. not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being what? Ensamples or examples to the flock. Now, where it says lords, Phillips translation says, don't be little tin gods. I want to tell you, we have some tin gods. I'm going to show you in a minute from the scripture over the church. How many know God wants to deliver his ministry from being, from having got attitude? Are you hearing me? Yes. And next verse, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive something, a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I want you to know this, crown of glory. But remember, they're suffering with glory. If you have suffered and you've been faithful to the Lord, he said, there will be a crown of glory to the shepherds. Amen? To the ministries that's been faithful. How many know God's looking at faithfulness?
Yes.
We judge people by how many souls are saved or how big a church. Let me tell you, God's looking at your faithfulness more than he's looking at anything.
Amen.
And your obedience to him and him alone. Can you hear that? Amen. Now, turn over to another scripture. Go over to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. And look at verses. I'm taking my time here tonight. Is that all right?
Amen.
Look at verse 4. The Lord is dealing with the shepherds. He's dealing with the shepherds. And some of them need to be dealt with. I mean, know that all fivefold ministries are shepherds. They may not all, quote, have a local church, but nevertheless, they're associated with the body and they are shepherds. But in verse 4, the disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. I mean, no force and cruelty is out if you're going to be a shepherd. Amen. And what happens to the sheep when people are under force and cruelty? And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. He may be around, but yet he's not functioning as he should. And they become meat to all the beasts of the field, which is the powers of darkness. And they were scattered. And then he talks about how they wandered and so forth. And then in verse 10, I'm against the shepherds. I'll require my flock at their hand and so forth. So God is talking to us about the shepherds. Now, let's go a little further here tonight. Turn with me to another scripture. Turn with me to Revelation. I'm laying a background, just a little foundation here tonight. Revelation. Because I'm going to Matthew 24 here in a minute. I want to go to Revelation 2, verse 6. The Lord tells us right here in this church of Ephesus. The first thing of the seven churches that you have to overcome, the first thing is you have to overcome leaving the love of God. I mean, God will never leave us nor forsake us. But many get up and leave God. Are you hearing me? Second thing you have to overcome, the second church, is the fear of death. And I could go on and on. But in this church, verse chapter 2, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Then over also in verse 15, please. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine. No, that's the teaching of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. That was literally the minister of the clergy back at the, I don't like to use the word clergy, but anyway, dominating the people of God where they could not make decisions. They were taking the place of the Holy Spirit. And how many know that, how many know that's dangerous to take the place of the Holy Spirit? Amen? Okay, that's what we're talking about tonight. All right, now look in Acts 20. Look in Acts 20. Acts 20, 28. How many know ministers need to be delivered just like the people of God, the other people of God?
Amen.
In fact, I think if more ministers would get deliverance, we'd see a greater move in our churches. Come on. We all need it, don't we, brethren? Chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you something. Who's going to make us overseers if we're overseers? The Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost don't make you an overseer, don't claim to be one. Or an apostle, a prophet, or an evangelist, whatever. Amen. To feed the church of God. Here's why he calls the shepherds. Again, to feed the church of God, to shepherd the church of God, that he's purchased with his own blood. For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing somebody. It's the flock that always gets ripped up and torn to shreds. Amen? Also of your own selves, elders, he said, shall men arise speaking perverse things. What for? Why? to drag, literally draw, the word draw means drag, away disciples after them. I want to tell you something. If you're a disciple, you're not mine, you're his. I mean, no, he's making disciples today. What is the disciple? One that's under discipline, and he's a learner. He's a disciplined one. If you want to be a disciple, how many know you and I both have to be disciplined? Now, look in verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you day and night with tears. And Paul then commends him to the word of God. Paul saw false ministries coming into this church at Ephesus. This church at Ephesus was called to a high calling of God, sonship. And I want to tell you, they were invaded by not only these elders who wanted to draw men after themselves. There was an invasion by false apostles, Revelation 2 tells us, and other things. Other things have come into this church. How many know if you're going to be a sonship church, a local church, how many know you're going to fight the battle? The devil hates sonship churches. He hates those that's preaching the kingdom of God. If you're going to preach the kingdom, he's going to... How many know you got an adversary tonight? Come on, amen? You're going to preach deliverance, you got an adversary. That's the kingdom, too, isn't it? Healing's the kingdom. Come on. Maturity's the kingdom. We need a rounded, wholesome gospel. We need deliverance. Come on. We need to get people filled, get people healed. But we need to get them matured in the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, let me give you another scripture here. Go over to Matthew chapter 24, please. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew 24, Jesus talks about a faithful servant and an evil servant. And if you'll notice down in verse 46, he's really talking about the coming of the Lord before these verses. But look in verse 46. Blessed is that servant. Let's go back to verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant when his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, pawn him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now notice, first of all, he said there's a wise and a faithful servant. And how many thank God for those that are wise and are faithful? Then he said he's going to make them ruler over his household. And this one is going to give meat in due season to the household. Praise God. Or give them their portion of meat in due season, another scripture says. And the Bible said that blessed is that that man will be when the Lord comes, when he finds so doing, when he's giving the meat out, he's faithful and he's wise. He's going to make him then faithful over all of his goods. And then he changes it to the evil servant. He begins to talk about the evil servant. Now, notice the first thing the evil servant says in verse 50. What the scripture says about this one. Look in verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of. Amen. Hallelujah. Number one, he's lost his expectancy. And how many know we can lose our expectancy? And many have lost it. In Revelation, again, they left their first love. They left their expectancy. They left the love of God. And how many know when you lose the love of God or leave the love of God, all you have left is a religious club?
Right.
And this one here, he lost that expectancy of the coming of the Lord. And how many know hope means expectancy? He not only lost his love in this chapter, but he lost his hope. And he lost his faith. And he quit preaching faith. I mean, God wants us to be faithful to the end, it says, if we're ministers or not ministers, whoever we are. Now, he lost his expectancy of the coming of the Lord. Now, that shows me something. If you lose the expectancy for the coming of the Lord, something's happened where? On the inside. I told Robert today, I believe Robert or somebody, the falling away is not so much people not going to church. We got more people going to church than we ever had. The falling away is right in the heart. Isn't that right? And the last church is called what? Laodicea. The people rule. Lukewarm. Mixture of hot, mixture of cold. A mixture have come in. But in that last church that's lukewarm, he gave one of the greatest promises. If they'd overcome. God made a distinction between the church and the overcomers. The overcomers coming out of the church. I mean, know that not everybody is overcoming. Not everybody is going to be in the army of God. Not everybody is going to be in the remnant of God. Amen. But God has a remnant. God has overcomers who will take the forefront and will fight for the church.
Hallelujah.
But how many know it's the grace of God is going to get us there? And the love of God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So he lost his expectancy. Now, if you lose your expectancy, that shows me something. That you're not walking in the Spirit. And you may say, well, the Lord's going to come maybe 200 or 300 years, or, you know, I've heard that all my life. Look in Revelation. Go to chapter 4 of Revelation. How many know it's dangerous to lose our expectancy tonight? Chapter 4, verse 1, John sees a door open in heaven. He hears the trumpet. Now, this is a picture of the overcomers taking the throne. This is not a rapture. John's body is right here on the Isle of Patmos in chapter 1. He's explaining that in chapter 1. Amen. But here in chapter 4, he says he sees the door. He's caught up. He hears a voice saying, come up hither. In verse 3, he says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. Now go back to chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, and we see what John says here as well. In chapter 1, that in verse 1, that the angel was showing this vision, this revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, he said, the time is at hand. And how many know that it has not been fulfilled yet? And yet John said, the time is at hand. In the Spirit, there's no time. Come on, there's no distance. John was ushered into the day of the Lord as a prophet. He was an apostle, but he's a prophet too. And he saw this great day coming. And then he said in verse 9, John also am your brother in what? Companion in what?
Tribulation.
Notice, he's in tribulation. If you're going to take the kingdom, what's it going to take? Much tribulation. John's in tribulation. He's in the kingdom, the patience of Jesus Christ, in the hour that's called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Then he said, I was in the Spirit, and the word is on, but it's in the Lord's day, heard behind me a voice of a trumpet. So John was taken to the day of the Lord. John was in the Spirit. Now, how many know when you're in the Spirit, his coming is always imminent. But his coming is first within as well as without. Isn't that right? Now we'll go to Revelation 22. John's in the Spirit. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Then if you come on down to verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And then in verse 20, surely I come quickly. Now, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is... But I thought I was going over yonder to get it. Now, look at that verse again. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. And yet the traditional teaching is I'll go to heaven and be there 7 years, but while the tribulation's, you know, here on the earth, we're throwing chicken bones back down on the sinners. And we get our rewards at that time. I mean, no, that's a lie. There is no pre-tribulation rapture. There is no pre-tribulation rapture. It is a lie. I believed it for years, too. I didn't want to change, but God changed me. Hallelujah. There is no pre-tribulation rapture. And there won't be that. Praise God. The tribulation is not 7 years. It is 3.5 years. Did you know that? Well, get some of my tapes back there on the bookshelf and you'll find out. The tribulation is not 7 years. The great tribulation is 3.5 years only. How many know that's enough? And let me tell you, there are three groups. There is one group that will be overcome, out-of-court Christians. Number two, there is one group in the wilderness that God will feed and nourish, and get her ready for the coming of the Lord, who will be living when Jesus comes, many of them. And then there is a group who had overcome, and who are the overcomers who fight, hallelujah, for the church. One group overcome, one is learning to overcome, and the other had overcome. God is raising a people up. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. So this servant, he lost his expectancy. He's no longer in the Spirit. Now, something else. He back in Matthew 24, he becomes a beater and not a feeder. Now, if you've been under ministry that beats you, you need deliverance. Can you hear me? If I've been under it, I need deliverance. If you've been under ministry that beat you and not feed you, you need to be set free. I mean, there are some scars. This man is a smiter and a fighter. He's no longer feeding the people of God. Now, look at something else here. Look down in Matthew 24 there, to that verse again, where we were. Look down to verse 49. You'll notice it says, he begins to smite his fellow servants. The word smite means to wound the conscience. This man is beating the people with the word, not with his fist. He is beating them with the word of God. How many know they're fighting fundies that'll kill you with the word? I said there's fighting fundies that'll kill you with the word. You know Jezebel will kill you with this word? Huh? Yeah? Jezebel used the word with those false witnesses to get Naboth's vineyard. Did you know that? Yeah, they said Naboth had blasphemed God. That's a scripture on that. If any man blasphemed God, he'd be stoned to death. They stoned that man of God. They took the law, they took Moses' law, or the word of God, however you want to say it, the Old Testament, and they used it against the man of God. And we can take the word and use it wrongfully against one another, can't we? Amen. How many know we need the Holy Ghost interpretation and revelation of this word? All of us. Amen. We can add to it, take away, or alter it. That's exactly what Eve did. Three things in the book of Genesis. She altered, took away, and added to the word of God. Peter said there are those who actually wrest or twist the word to their own destruction. But how many know there's different levels of interpretation with this word? Come on, there's a natural meaning, there's a spiritual meaning, there's a fullness. We need insight, perception by the Holy Ghost tonight, don't we? How to interpret the precious word of God. Amen? All of us. Now, so he becomes a smiter. He becomes a fighter. He begins to beat people. No longer feeding them with the word of God, dishing out the meat of God. He is now becoming a beater. Now, notice he's running with the wrong crowd. Look up at the verse, verse 49. Notice it says there, he's eating and drinking with who? The drunken. And that doesn't mean just drinking alcohol. How many know that eating and drinking can mean a lot of things? We can get under the spirit of gluttony on many things. Isn't that right? A lot of people. How many know televisions? In people's hearts. And that's all they want to do is just watch television or something else. Look in verse 38. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So this guy is running with the people of Noah's day. Now notice here, Jesus quoted that, drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. How many know it takes you back to Genesis chapter 6? How many know there was a mixture of the enemy's seed among the daughters of men? And the Nephilim was produced. Giants in the earth. Remember that? And even after that, it says there were giants. Even 500 years later, there were giants. God spared Noah. God spared the seed by the flood he sent to destroy humanity. Amen? I mean, the devil's always sought to destroy the precious seed of God. Amen. Now, Jesus said that it will be like the days of Noah. That there was a mixture of evil there among the sons of God and the daughters of men, and there were giants in the earth at that time. Yet Jesus said it'll be that way before it comes. I see three realms. I see the enemy coming. It's in the religious, the political, and the economic. I mean, no, that's Babylon. But I want to tell you something. There is a false prosperity today. Look in Daniel 8. I mean, no, God can prosper us. As our soul prospers. Amen? How many know God can prosper us? As our soul prospers. Amen? And I'm going to speak it. I'm going to say it anyway. Daniel Go to Daniel 8. I say I'm going to. I'll wait. Daniel 8. Look down to verse 23. Hallelujah. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to something. I want you to notice the cup of iniquity is coming to the fullness of evil one, of the evil one. And just as we're coming to God's fullness. A king of fierce countenance. And notice, understanding dark sentences shall stand up in this time of the fullness of darkness. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Otherwise, the devil's going to give him the power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy somebody. The mighty and the holy people. That's not people of the world. That's God's people. Next verse. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He will magnify himself in his heart. And by peace, security, or prosperity, he shall destroy many. Who are the many? Back here in verse 24, it's the mighty and the holy people. I want to tell you, there's a beast prosperity today that's not the Holy Ghost. Anybody hearing me tonight? There is a... Now listen, I'm not against prosperity. How many know God will prosper those who obey him? Isn't that right? Sure will. Praise God. But there is a beast prosperity that is not from God. Amen. So, I believe in this end time there's going to be religious giants, there's going to be economic giants, and I believe that there are political giants. Look in Revelation 13 with me. I mean, 13 is the number of rebellion. My tolerance is number 13. It is rebellion. And what chapter are we dealing with? Chapter 13 with a beast. Chapter of rebellion. Where's this beast at? It's John's on the center of the sea, and he sees this beast coming out of humanity, out of the sea, out of the nations. How many know this United Nations is a beast? I said it's a beast. We got United Nations troops all over this country, and a lot of people don't even know it. Amen? But how many know there's a beast in us? Isn't that right? You know, the wisdom of God is many-fold, the Scripture says. You know, we can just look at one or two folds, but how many know God's got a lot of other things to be unfolded yet? And we think we got it all. I want to tell you, we don't have very much compared to what we need. Amen? But he said, I stood up on the sand of the sea, and I saw this beast rise up out of humanity. And notice he had something, 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horn, 10 crowns, upon his head's the name of blasphemy. Somebody said the 7 heads of the G7. Well, look over in 17. Let's see if it is. How many's ever heard of the G7? Who can tell me who they are? Come on. United States, Japan, Germany, Great Britain, who else? Okay. One other one? No. Italy, one other. One more or so. There's 7 in all. No. But look here in chapter 17. I'm just saying, some people say it's G7. Well, maybe, but I don't think so. Look in chapter 17. Notice in 17, look in verse 3. John sees this great horse sitting up on many waters in verse 1. I mean, you know what many waters are? People, look in verse 15. It tells you what it is. Look in verse 15. He said, the waters that thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. All right, back to chapter 17, verse 3. He sees the kings, of course, drunk with the fornication, of her fornication, wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit. Now notice, John got carried away in the spirit. That's all right. And notice, he was in the wilderness. I mean, no, God might take you into the wilderness to show you this harlot. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy and having how many heads now? 7 heads and 10 horns. 10 and 7, 17. That's the fullness of Satan, which I can show you coming out of the pit. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones. Now look down to verse 6. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Everybody see that? Now come on down to verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now, when you deal with a beast, you've got to deal with a man, a spirit, and a kingdom. Let me know that there is a spirit that will come out of the pit, possess a man, and it's part of Satan's kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? Let me know that Jesus is a man today. Our Lord. He's one man. There's one God between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And how many know that he's putting a kingdom together, a body together? How? How's he doing it? By the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. Well, the opposite pole, on the opposite pole is the same. See, there is a man, come on, possessed with a spirit, and there's a kingdom he's putting together. Who's behind that? Satan. Who's behind this one? God the Father. Who can hear that tonight? Now, the beast, he said, you saw in verse 8, was and is not, and shall ascend out of Abraham's pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Now, look at verse 9. Here's the mind that hath wisdom. How many know we need some wisdom tonight? The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. But it just said she's sitting on a scarlet beast. So this beast goes way back, doesn't it? We think just our day. Now, he said there are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there, that word there means these are they, are seven kings, five are fallen. And this isn't the seven hills of Rome, I want to tell you. And one is, which was Rome in John's day. And another is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. He said five of them had fallen. Don't sound like the G7 to me. And one is, which was Rome, and another's come. There's a lot in there I could go into. I'm not going to get into that part tonight, but I can show you. The devil had a wound. There was a wound in one of those kingdoms, and it was healed. But I won't go into that. Praise God. Now let's go back to some scriptures here. Hallelujah. Back to chapter 13. I'm going to get back on my thought here. John's standing on the sea. He sees this beast rising up out of the sea, having what? Seven heads, 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. What does blasphemy mean? One of the definitions means to bring God down to man's level. Amen. But how many know there's a lot of blasphemy on the television? There's a lot of blasphemy in people's hearts. The beast that I saw was like unto something. A leopard. Who was the leopard kingdom in Daniel's day? It was Greece, the Grecian Empire. Amen. And his feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. His dragon gave him his power seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world did something. Look at this now. Literally went insane. That's what it means. Wandered after the beast. How many know there's a spirit of insanity? You can feel it going in the stores. You can feel it around. You can go into churches and feel it. Department stores, yes. You can feel the spirit of insanity in people. You can see it in people's eyes. How many has ever seen it in people's eyes? Got a particular look insanity does. Amen. And how many know if a person has that spirit in them and they come with a so-called word or laying hands on you, how many know they can impart that insanity to you? And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like everybody laying hands on me. I don't care if it's in my local fellowship, our local fellowship, or wherever I'm at. I don't want everybody laying hands on me. I think we need to be very discreet about that. When you get hit 3 or 4 times, how many know you're not too quick to let everybody lay hands on you? Amen. I was in a place recently, and I was just preaching on soul force versus spirit force. And how many know there's a lot of soul force in the church? A lot of things coming out of the soul, not the spirit. And I've just been teaching on that, and all of a sudden this person come up and laid hands on me. When they did, I got zapped. I got a headache immediately. He did it so fast I couldn't do, you know. Well, you know, most of the time I try to cover myself with the blood of Jesus. But I got hit. How many's ever been hit that way? Raise your hand. Lay hands suddenly on no man. And be not partaker of other men's sins. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I think we need to be careful, all of us. Not fearful, but careful. Amen? Of who lays hands upon us. Now, notice something. He said the whole world went insane, literally wandered after the beast. And they did something. They worshiped the dragon. Devil worship. How many know we all receive that? They worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who's like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies and so forth. He blasphemed God in verse 6. We could go into all of this. Verse 8, they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Now notice, right in the midst of this beast system, God says, you better hear. Can I tell you that I believe most of the things in the church, universal, going on is not from God. Now in certain places, I believe a lot of things are from God. But taking the whole picture of the church, there are many things that are not God. You know why? Because we're not hearing the Holy Ghost. Can you hear that? And we know we're a people of the end time, and we see the beast arising, not only the church, but we see it out there. And God said, I want you to have an ear to hear in the midst of all the false that's around you. And how many know if you hear the Holy Ghost, you will be different. And you will be peculiar. Come on. And you'll be an oddball. Amen? But you'll have the favor of God. Amen. If you hear him and obey him. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth the sword. How many know there's two kinds of sword? There's a natural sword, but how many know this is a sword? If we kill with it, what's going to happen to us? Come on. He must also be killed. Here is the patience and what? Faith of the saints. Patience. How does patience come? Tribulation worketh. Patience. I mean, oh, this is the middle of tribulation. And faith, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, come on, and hearing by the Word of God. So he said, right in the middle of this beast, I want you to hear. And he said, I want you to have some persistence, perseverance, patience, which is literally hope, if I can say that. And the faith of the saints, which is the faith of Jesus in the saints. Look over in 14 just a minute. Look in chapter 14, verse 12. Here he's given a command right in the middle of those who take the mark of the beast. Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Again, those who are taking the mark of the beast, and yet he said, saints, be patient, be persistent, persevere. Amen? Here are they that keep the commandments of God. He said, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They have something. They have hope. They have patience here. But they have the love of God and what else? And the faith of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Praise God. Now, look back down to chapter 13. Here's what I'm saying. Chapter 13, how many know there is a beast arising out of the sea? Out of the nation. I mean, no, that's a political beast. I want to say it and say it straight. There's a political beast in America. I don't care how you look at it. Now, how many know God? God told me in Illinois, he said, I'm going to judge Washington, D.C. He told me that. I prophesied it. And I believe possibly this election's the start of it. But I will tell you something. Politics ain't going to save us. Only Jesus. But we have the privilege of voting. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we see a political beast rising up out of the nations. But also there's something else with that political beast as a religious system. Look down in chapter 13 now. Look in verse 11. After he says we need to hear God and we need to have patience and we need to have faith, he says to us in verse 11, and I beheld another beast. He saw the first coming out of the sea. Now he sees another one coming out of something else, out of the earth. Now hold your place and go to chapter 10 of Revelation. John has a vision of an angel, but this angel that he envisions here, I believe, is the Lord, because he's out of the tribe of Judah, and he's got a rainbow about his head, which is mentioned in chapter 4. And we know in chapter 10, look at verse 2, he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. How many believe God's raising up a big company? And Satan must be bruised under our feet shortly. Under your feet, my feet. Jesus was anointed on his head and on his feet. How many know Moses saw the promised land? Joshua walked into the promised land. It's not enough to see. How many know God wants us to possess what we see? Now, notice this one that I believe it's the Lord here in chapter 10. He sees one foot on the sea, one on the earth. And in Revelation 13, the first beast came out of the what? Out of the sea. Second beast came out of the earth. What am I saying? Those feet, hallelujah, conquered the beast and the false prophet. Are you hearing? In this end time, God has a people that will overcome the beast and the false prophet. Who can hear that in the spirit? Now, you can see that in other scriptures. That's just one. Now look back down now to chapter 13. I beheld, verse 11, I beheld this other beast coming up out of the earth, out of the carnal realm. And you know God wants us to come out of the carnal realm into the spirit realm tonight. And it had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. He's got dragon breath. Now, look at verse 12. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Now, this one is a counterfeit to the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? How many believe there's a lot of counterfeits to the Holy Ghost? There's a lot of witchcraft in the church that people think is the Holy Ghost. Come on. There's a lot of false prophecy that people think is of God. A lot of divination that people think is of God that's not of God. Amen? And so this one here comes up out of the earth. And you'll notice it says in this verse, he exercises the power of the first beast, which means he has the power of the first beast. How many know the Holy Ghost has the same power as Jesus? Sure does. And causes the earth, those who live in the carnal realm, and them which dwell therein to worship this first beast. Listen, there's a lot of people worshiping politics. This is a political machine they're worshiping, I want to tell you. Huh? Whose deadly wound was healed. I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost causes men to worship Jesus. He doesn't lift our flesh up. He didn't lift up a system or a denomination. He exalts the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you what I see coming in this country is a holy war. Possibly. I don't know how far to go with that. I mean, in other words, ethnos or ethnic wars have been fought for years in many countries. All around. Yeah. But I want to tell you whose side I want to be on. I don't want to be on political side. I want to be on Jesus' side. I don't care if we're Republican or Democrat or Independent. I want to be on Jesus' side. And he doeth, and I want to tell you something. Let me know there's a great deceiving spirit over in Washington, D.C. Amen. But I pray God will smash it. He does great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Listen, the Holy Ghost never is a show-off. But this one that causes the earth to worship the first beast, is bringing fire down from heaven. Now, I believe there's going to be people in this false prophet who have one time known the Lord. We're talking about, not just talking about a man now. I'm talking about a so-called ministry. A false ministry. I mean, a lot of false prophets at one time have known, a lot of true prophets at one time have known the true Holy Spirit. And they move from the Holy Spirit to the flesh and keep moving that way to get everything out of people they can get out of them. Are you hearing me? A false prophet exalts himself. He exalts his ministry. He lifts himself up and not Jesus. A true prophet will point you to Jesus. They will not exalt themselves, and they don't want a lot of people around. Who can hear that tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now notice what else it says. He does great wonders that he makes this fire come down from heaven on the earth and the sight of men. There's a lot of false miracles that's going to happen in the days ahead. People's going to think it's the Holy Ghost. I heard a prophet said this recently. I went in his meeting. He said there's coming a false move of God. False move, rather. And people's going to think it's God. That's what I said. A false move. And people are going to say it's revival. But he says it's going to be a counterfeit to the real. Before the real comes. Who can hear that tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Notice what it says. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, those that live in that carnal realm, they should make an image to the beast. What's an image? There's a likeness to whatever. Make an image so the second is going to look like the first. Isn't that right? This image they make is going to look like the first. Amen? Hallelujah. If they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by sword and delivered. Now, if he can't get you in the political realm, he'll get you in the religious realm. Won't he? Come on now, don't shout me down. It's true. If he can't snatch you in politics, he'll snatch you in the religious system that exalts man and exalts the political system. I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to exalt no political system. I'm going to exalt Jesus. Amen. I don't care what Republican, again, Democrat, or independent. I'm not going to exalt him. I'm going to exalt the one that's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because there is a political machine in this country. Amen. And there's a religious system in this country and as well as other countries. But I want to tell you, it is something that deters our focus from Jesus. If we talk more about politics and Jesus, how many know we've lost our focus? Come on now, don't shout me down. It's true. If we talk more about the religious system we do Jesus, we've lost our focus. Now listen to what he says. Hallelujah. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast. Listen, the Holy Ghost has given us power to come into his image tonight. You believe that? And there's a people going to enter that. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what? I want you to notice, those that would not worship the image of this beast must be killed. I mean, there are going to be people killed who worship Jesus in this end time. And he causeth all, both small, rich, great, and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their foreheads. No man can buy or sell or save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of a man. It is the number of a man. His number is 666. Man, there's so many scriptures I could go into with that. How many know you see 666 is six. Number six is man's perfection of imperfection. Man's perfection of imperfection. Six is carnal strength, carnal thinking, carnal believing. I could show you a lot of. How many know the woman in Luke 13 was bent over for how many years? 18 years. That's 666. You see Jesus as a baby. You see Jesus at 12. From 12 to 30. How many years is that? 18. 666. I mean, no, he was overcoming, learning to overcome. He did overcome. Amen. The giants in the Old Testament, you see the sixes on the giants. Six toes, six fingers, so forth. So it's all through the scriptures. Praise God. Back to Matthew 24. A couple more things here. Hallelujah. How many believe the Lord's going to come in a time when this guy's not looking for him? How many believe there's going to be a lot of people taken by surprise by his coming? Amen? Hallelujah. How many want to be looking for his return? The Bible said three things. We must be like him when he appears. We must love his appearing. And we must look for his appearing. Now, I want to show you something. This man is going to be caught off unaware the day and hour of the Lord's coming. And then he's going to be cut asunder. It says here, and given his portion with the hypocrites. Another scripture says unbelievers. Turn to Thessalonians, although you're there, but turn to Thessalonians. I want to show you something here now. Look in Thessalonians, and I want to show you what we've got to have at the coming of the Lord. Because he is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love. Notice, labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Savior. Now look over to verse 10. To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I mean, God wants to work the work of love in us before Jesus comes. Now look in chapter 3. Let me show it to you in verse 12. 3:12. And the Lord make you... let's go back to verse 11. The Lord Jesus direct our way unto you. Verse 12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love. One towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. To this end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants that love to abound in us at his coming. Amen? Then look in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 13, I believe it is. But I would not have you to be ignorant. No, let's go back to verse 10. Verse 10. And indeed you do it towards all, well, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And then he says in verse 10, to increase more and more. Then in verse 13 through 18, he talks about the coming of the Lord. We've got to have the love of God when Jesus comes. Amen? Then we go to chapter 5. Look in verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a what? Thief in the night, which is an element of surprise. Look in verse 8, though. He said you've got to put on the breastplate of faith and love. Amen? How many see what I'm talking about? Chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 3. He talks about here about the faith growing and charity abounding. That love of God abounding. And then in verse 6 and 7 and 8, on down, he talks about the Lord coming. Then in 2 Thessalonians 2, I'm just going through this hurriedly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. He says here, notice, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his parousia, his coming. Even him whose coming is after working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because, here's because they receive not what? The love of the truth that they might be saved. We must receive the love of the truth. Not any of us have all the truth, but you can have a love for truth. Amen? Then look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and look at verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and unto the patient waiting for Christ. We need the love of God. Amen? Amen. I want to tell you seven things in closing. Now, let's tell you this in closing. We're not looking at scriptures. That love is everlasting. That love draws us to God. That love is to individuals, to you personally, to me personally. And that love precedes time, Ephesians tells us. And that love is irresistible. And I believe that God, I also believe that that love edifies as well. But God is love. How many believe that tonight in closing? And God was manifested where? In the flesh. How many know love came in the flesh? His name is what? Jesus, Son of God, Son of love. And he's raising up sons of God, sons of love. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. They were one in love, one in unity, one in purpose. Hallelujah. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Praise God. We got to walk as he walked. How did he walk? He walked in love. God wants to work that love in us for us to walk it out. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So I tell you, brethren, we need the love of God. We need him to kiss us tonight. Amen? To bring us into his chambers. Hallelujah. Amen. And we need to repent if we have smitten others with the word of God. I mean, it don't have to be a fivefold ministry to smite people with the word. Amen? Let's stand. I'm going to pray here about some things. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Maybe you've been under ministry that have smitten you, have hurt you in the past. How many know we must forgive them? Let's pray the prayer of prayer if we pray today. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We forgive everyone that has smitten us the wrong way. Lord Jesus, I ask deliverance for their soul. And now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of condemnation. And I break off of me, my family, my fellowship, all condemnation. Spirit of condemnation, I command you now to loose me, to leave me, and be remembered no more. Take a deep breath. Let her go. Come on. All condemnation. Loose the people. All condemnation. Come out in Jesus' name of being hurt by any ministry, anyone. In Jesus' name, all condemnation, loose the people. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of deception. Spirit of deception. Come out. Take a deep breath. Come on. Let her go. All deception that you've been under. Any ministers that's deceived you, in Jesus' name, come out. All spirits of deception. All seducing spirits. All seducing spirits of devils. Doctrines of devils. Error. Come out and loose the people in Jesus' name. Loose them in Jesus' name. All false prophet ministers you've been under. False prophetic words. False words that's come forth from others that were not true. I break it off of you right now. Jesus, take a deep breath. Let her go. All false words. False prophecy. In Jesus' name. Loose the people. Come out in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit that spirit that has beat you down. That beat you down again and put you down. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. All spirits that have put you down, hurt you. Every spirit that's cursed you, put a curse on you. As Doc said today, that you would never mount anything. You left the fellowship, left the church, left that ministry. I break its power. Come on, take a deep breath. All curses being put upon you by the ministries. I break its power. I break its hold in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of witchcraft. All witchcraft and divinations have been put on you by the laying on of hands. The spirit of insanity that's been put upon you. Loose the people. Insanity, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Through laying on of hands, false prophecy, false words. Anyway, come out in Jesus' name. Loose the people. Come out. Take a deep breath. Come on. Get down deep and get it. Down, it's lodged down inside you there. Let it go in Jesus' name. I come against manipulation. People that's manipulated to get your money, to get your finances, to get things out of you the wrong way. I bind the power of the Canaanite spirit. Take a deep breath. Name of Jesus. The peddler. Come on, the Canaanite spirit. Loose the people of God here. Covetousness, greed, lust from ministers and people that's used you wrongfully and harmfully. I break its power in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Spirit of control. Domination. Domination. The spirit of the doctrine of the Nicolaitan. The deeds of the Nicolaitan. Those who controlled you to the point where they took the place of the Holy Spirit. I bind that spirit. I break that spirit over your mind and over your thoughts tonight in the name of Jesus. Loose the people of God. Loose the people of God. Loose the people of God. I come against the spirit of Jezebel that's dominating, control the people of God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now, Lord, forgive each one of us. If we have smitten and bruised any child of God, knowingly or unknowingly in the body of Christ, forgive us, Father God, and wash us in the blood of Jesus. Lord God, any person that we've hurt, that we've used the word incorrectly, over or against, we ask forgiveness. Wash us in the blood of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you for forgiving us, and we do forgive ourselves tonight as well. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Kiss us tonight with your kiss, Lord. Oh, bring us into your chambers, Lord. Bring us into the house of wine, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Breathe upon us tonight. Breathe upon us tonight. Praise God. Brother Doc, I just see the faith of the Lord arising in you, my son. I see the faith of Jesus arising in Brother Doc. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, set your eye upon me, let the focus be single, and your whole body shall be full of light. For the Lord shall direct thy footsteps, the Lord shall guide you out and guide you in. Be not fearful nor afraid, for the Lord is over thee, his covering does cover thee, his spirit does abide over thee and with thee. And I shall lead thee into greater truths, greater depths in the Spirit. And the Lord shall cause you to go. And I hear this, Doc. The Lord shall put you on a fast. I don't mean just a long, long fast, but the Lord will put you on a fast. And purification he's going to do, but he's going to bring revelation and truth to your inner man. And as you have obeyed in the past, God says you'll obey again. As the Spirit directs you, you'll know it, and you'll have an ear to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. 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 The man in the yellow here, I just see the Lord reaching out to you. I see the Lord wooing you and drawing you to himself, into his bosom. And I see things just falling off of you, left and right. Things that have clung to you. And God says that they're fleshly things, but God said they'll go. and they'll be consumed by the fire. And fret not and worry not, for I'm with you. And I'll bring you through the fire, I'll bring you through the water, and you'll not be drowned, you'll not be consumed. And that which I do will be a work of purification, it'll be a work of sanctification. And you'll know that your God reigns, and others shall know you've been in the fire. You've been with me, for God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Hallelujah. I don't do this too often, but I see the Lord over my wife back here, and I just know the Lord's ministering life to her and strength to her. And I just speak life to her right now in the name of Jesus and encouragement in the name of Jesus. I want Helen right there by her to lay her hands on her. Helen, lay your hands on Wanda. And Lord, I just speak life to Wanda right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, you've given her a hearing ear, and I thank you for the wisdom that you have given and put in her inner man. And Lord, for the days ahead and the hours ahead or the years ahead, I just pray that that wisdom shall increase and that, Lord, it will be profitable to the body of Christ, that which you're putting in and given to her even now, Lord. Even that, Lord, in the past has been great. But, Lord, even the days ahead, I believe that wisdom shall be increased and I believe it shall multiply and be a greater blessing to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Let's praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you. 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 Praise God. Our little sister here in the green, I just see the Lord doing a work in your the area where you're at. In Montana, right? And I just see the Lord going to break out in that area as you and others are faithful to the Lord. I just believe the Lord is going to do a quick work and the fire of God is going to fire of God is going to melt hearts, and there's going to be much repentance. As you pray and others pray and intercede, there's going to be a move of God in your area. And just take it and believe it. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you for the move of God in Montana. Mighty move of God. Send apostles there, prophets, teachers, shepherds. God, send the power of the Holy Ghost in that place. Glory. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Rosalie, I just see the Lord saying that the problem that's been, that has stood in the way, God said, I'm going to remove it. Hallelujah. I'm going to take my big bulldozer and remove it out of the way. So fret not and worry not any longer. For God said, I've heard your cries. I've heard the cry of Israel in their affliction. I've heard your cry. And God said, the answer is coming, and the removal of this thing shall be swift and quick. Glory. Glory. It's got a heavenly bulldozer. You know, one prophet said, well, one man said, the crooked cannot be made straight. But that's where a beast thinks. But the prophet Isaiah said, the crooked can be made straight. That's the mind of Christ. And sometimes we go through problems and situations for so long we think it'll never be removed. I mean, that's a lie. God is faithful to remove situations, circumstances, and problems that we can't do as we're faithful to Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray for Glenn tonight. Brother Glenn, Lord, he's been faithful. He's your servant. I lift up Glenn, Lord, and I just thank you for Glenn. And I thank you, Lord, that he has been obedient to you. And I just pray for in the days ahead that you will strengthen Brother Glenn and Irma. That God, that your mind, your will, your desire shall be fulfilled in and through them, Lord, in this place. Hallelujah. I just ask you to minister life to Glenn tonight and give him energy and strength, Lord, for the days ahead. Lord, I thank you for the many years you've given him here on the earth. And yet I thank you for those days yet will be increased, Lord. And I ask you to bless Glenn and strengthen him, Lord, tonight. In the name of Jesus and Irma, Lord, for the work that's yet to be done here. Lord, I thank you for the finances that will yet come in and those faithful ones that you will send in to help them here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. We love you tonight, Lord. We worship you tonight, Lord. Praise you, God. Lord, increase your love in our hearts. Increase your love in us. Give us a new vision of the Holy of Holies tonight. Jesus, forgive us if we've got off into the political realm too far. or the religious realm too far. Keep us, Lord, in your focus. Keep our focus upon you. Keep our eyes single, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. We've got too busy on the job, got too busy in the things, even around the house, whatever. But, Lord, help our focus to be upon you tonight. Wash us in your blood, we pray. Bring us back tomorrow. Give us a great day in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I thank you for Bill and Linda and Robert and all the musicians, Lord, and the worship we had tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We ask your blessing upon them. Meet every need of everyone here tonight, we pray. And we all said, amen. I'll turn it back to Brother Glenn. Praise God. Oh, you three? Okay. May the Lord bless you. You're dismissed if you want.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.